If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. And I'm so thrilled to have my next guest come in. He's been on the show on other shows, actually, quite a few times, but this is his first show with the Up Your Brave. It's Gary Mahler. We're going to be discussing adrenal fatigue, causes, signs, and symptoms, and remedies. Welcome to the show, Gary.
It's a pleasure.
Well, I'm excited to talk about adrenal fatigue, something I know of, but I don't know a lot about. For those of you that might maybe haven't met Gary before, here's a little bit of background. With over 50 years at the coalface of health, Gary Mahler is a health practitioner who walks the talk and who's focused on addressing the root causes of ill health or poor performance by making use of key forensic tool, the hair tissue mineral analysis, and administering healthy, natural, and sustainable therapies. You sound like my kind of guy. He's also a true champion of the world mountain biking. In the world of mountain biking, securing back-to-back victories in the UCI Masters, age 60 to 65, and 65 to 70. He also claimed the title of UCI Masters 70-plus Mountain Bike Marathon World Champion and ranked second in the UCI Cyclocross Masters 70-plus World Championships unbeaten for a decade in the NZ Masters 60-plus cyclocross racing. Gary's skills transcend cycling, and he is also a proficient runner. Well, there's a few things now for us to talk about. I used to do mountain biking back in the day, nothing at your level, but I do come from a running family. My dad was a steeplechase Olympic athlete for New Zealand. There you go.
Well, that is amazing, Natalie.
Wow. Well, what is it? All of your awards are quite amazing as well. I would love to hear a little bit more about it, about the journey for you. Maybe it was from your athletic prowess that led you into this area. So we'd love to hear a little bit more, but also I'd love to know, how have things been for you over the past few years? We've just come off the back of doing quite a number of COVID inquiry sessions with people. It's been an interesting time. 2024 is a time when a lot of things are coming up for people. How has life been for you, Gary?
Well, the last 3 years have been a huge stress on my adrenals. Athletic performance, the ability to win world championships, is very much dependent upon having strong, healthy, responsive adrenal glands. And most athletes, by the time they are in their 30s, are beginning to show all the signs and symptoms of adrenal burnout. And by the time one is in their 40s, it's definitely time to retire, simply because the body's physiology is unable to handle the stresses and strains of intense training and competition. In a lot of ways, the last 3 years have been like a continuous battle or contesting at Olympic level. Mm. And it's been an enormous strain on everybody's ability to handle stress. And for me, the last 3 years have been, it started off with, I think, myself falling back into adrenal burnout after learning several or about 15, 20 years ago, the root causes and remedying them, which is why I'm performing so well and able to work as I am. However, the last 3 years has been, I think, an enormous stress. I found it very difficult. I was told to put my head down and not say or do anything after initially smelling a rat and speaking out in the early stages of the pandemic, the lockdowns. What I found was that not saying and doing anything was worse than doing so.
Mm, interesting.
And it was definitely affecting my physical and mental health, to be to cower behind the sofa while others were taking the heat. The best thing that I ever did was to up my brave, to come out from behind the couch and begin speaking out once again. And I'm actually quite enjoying it now. It's my battle. My grandparents, great grandparents, my father, his brothers, and the women as well. They all fought great battles to protect their way of life, their freedom.
Mm.
When I retired at 65, I looked back and I thought, even though I'd done some time in the army, I'd not been involved in any wars. I was the first generation of New Zealand Mollahs never to go to war. That was quite something. And then COVID broke out, and I realized that this was my war. This is what I've spent the last 50 years doing, preparing for. This was my war. This is a war not of young, testosterone-filled men who were sent blindly over their parapets, but this is a war that is being fought by wise heads. It's a war of the mind. It's a war of hearts. It's not physical bullets and testosterone. So this is my war. I see myself as being out there in the front. And I should point out, not everybody is suited for being at the front lines. For many of us who think as I do, and you do, they are better off working in a support role, being at the back, providing the support. And those who are best able, the ones with strong adrenals and a good strategic mind, are the ones who should be out there in the front taking the heat. But even then, we all need a break.
Yeah.
Okay? We all need a break. Otherwise, we burn out physically and mentally.
Okay, I got to jump in because there's so much I want to comment on. What you're saying is bringing up so many very diverse elements of what we've all been through. I'm going to start at the back. So when you said not everyone is meant to be in the front, word for word, multiple times over the past 4 years, I've said this, and I've said it to my kids even. Not everyone was born to be, or not everyone's happy in the line of fire, but I'm actually okay with it. You know, like in terms of when you were getting the bullying bullets shot at you for daring to speak out or daring to question. So that's really hopefully great for other people to hear you say that. People that felt like, oh, I should have done more. Why didn't I speak up sooner? Why didn't I? And they're kind of maybe beating themselves up now retrospectively. I really appreciate what you just said. Not everyone is meant for that frontline role, but I'm sure they helped in their other way. I want to also commend you for, as you said, coming out from behind the couch, so to speak. And I had never actually thought that about the mental and health costs for someone who wanted to say something but was pushed down or maybe just didn't want the pushback but held it all in. That's worth acknowledging.
It is. And I don't want to go on too much about warfare, but in modern warfare, it's logistics, the support, the ability to supply. These are in some ways more important than who's at the front line. So for your listeners, you don't have to be at the front line taking the direct heat. Just support those who are doing so. And that can be as simple as signing up and being a supporter for Reality Check Radio, for example, putting in a submission to the terms of reference for the revamped inquiry. Joining a political party and influencing it from within. And I'd like to say more about that towards the end of this interview. Okay, but you don't have to be at the front line. You know, leave it to those who have got the right temperament and the fortitude to be able to take the inevitable attacks that come their way.
Yes, and every role is vital and in its own way.
Yes.
And that has helped us to hopefully, you know, to stand up as strong as we did and to now look back as we have and also to look forward as and behave in different ways maybe going
Natalie,
forward.
Yes. We have, I'm sure this has happened for you. It's happened for me. I think it's happened for just about everybody. We have discovered who our true friends are. Mm-hmm. We've lost many friends. Many of us feel like we've been betrayed, abandoned. However, what we've all found is new friends and true friends. And that's the other thing. Like surrounding me now, I think I have the dream team, just the amazing talent of people who have just turned up out of nowhere and said, Gary, I can help with this. People with the most amazing experience and expertise and qualifications and so on, who are there in the background providing yeah. support. I'm not on my own with the work that I'm doing. We are actually an amazing dream team. I'm feeling very positive, and I'm sure you can see it in my body language.
I can.
I'm not beaten. I'm not cowering. I'm confident. This is, of course, a very difficult situation that New Zealand has found itself in, where we feel like our government has betrayed us, along with our public service and our health system. Yes, they have. I think there's no question. But there is this amazing team of talent that has come out of the woodwork, come out of nowhere, and are now doing what I think is going to be a winning fight back. But it's going to take time, and a lot of damage is being done, has been done. But hey, we're Kiwis. We're going to prevail.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I can see that in you. I can see the sense of strength and fortitude. And I wanted to just, as we do, sharing on Reality Check Radio, the other side of the story. And my husband showed me his COVID inquiry submission, which basically said, I feel like I've lost a family member. And so I guess I also want to send love to those people out there who... So Gary and I imagine we've had a similar experience wanting to speak our truth, wanting to share some insights and wisdom that we feel we had, getting pushed back and pushed down, but still dusting ourselves off. But there's other people out there who didn't say anything and wish they did. They'll have, like you said, health impacts. Then there's other people out there who genuinely still believe it was all handled as well as it could have been. And they're really worried about their friends who have, totally gone off the rails or just have different views or family members. And they're going through their own health and mental health challenges because they still are clinging to what they've always thought was true and still believe is genuinely, but and seeing someone that they love having totally other views. So wherever people sit is where I'm going with this. Wherever people sit on their perspectives, there are impacts on our health. And part of that leading to today's topic is adrenals, the effect on the adrenals. So with that being said, how does that show up for people? Like, I don't know if the word is symptoms, but what kind of things are presenting for somebody to know that maybe it is their adrenals that are a bit out of whack?
Well, the adrenal glands are small glands that sit on top of the kidneys. And they're there for a very good reason, and that is because they must respond within a second to any kind of threat, be it psychological, physical, be it infectious, toxins, any kind of or from a pathogen like a bacteria or a virus, there must be an almost immediate response, and also like the food we eat, the histamines, to counter the histamines in the food. So as a little aside, so if somebody breaks out in hives after eating certain things, or if they break out in hives when they are stressed, that's an indication that their adrenals are not producing enough of the hormones necessary to counter or to balance the histamine, as an example. So they're located there, but they're not designed to be working constantly. If you go, you know, think of like living on an island with your family, there may be a cyclone goes through every 20 years, or there may be some other crisis, but it's not a daily crisis. Life used to be pretty predictable, pretty mundane, pretty ho-hum in a lot of ways. And whereas nowadays, I used to do biomonitoring stress management courses for corporations. And we would measure things like heart rate, pulse, electrical skin resistance, which is a measure of stress hormones. And even the mere thought of saying something to the group would cause their a spurt of adrenal hormones into the bloodstream, and you can measure it instantly. The mere ringing of the phone will cause a quickening of the heart, and so on. So now these glands, these little adrenal glands, are just not built for today's stresses, for the constant stress from the moment you wake up, and sometimes before you even wake up. We are under constant assault from stimuli which tell those little glands to work harder. Now, the thing about adrenal glands is that they store hormones, you could say, in like tiny little micro puddles. And overnight, or when you're resting, they should be filling up so that you've got a nice reserve of hormones. And then during the day, when a spurt of action is required, those hormones will be essentially called upon and squirted into the bloodstream for a pretty much instantaneous response to whatever the stressor is. Now, if a person is under constant stress, and maybe even lying in bed and tossing and turning, worrying about the day to come, or just having disturbed sleep, they may not, the other factor is, if the nutrients required for the production of those stress hormones is deficient, imbalanced, or maybe there are even excesses, then those little micro puddles don't get replenished. And the glands themselves, it's like if you just think of like doing, if I was sitting here right now with a dumbbell and I was constantly doing a dumbbell curl, and I did that day in, day out, okay? Yes, you could say I'm going to end up with a big, strong bicep, righto? But it doesn't happen. I'll end up with a big, swollen, inflamed, and unhealthy bicep muscle that will ultimately be injured. The way the body is designed to work is you apply a stress, and then you follow that up with an appropriate period of rest for recovery and the compensatory process of growing a little bit stronger. Your adrenal glands are just like a muscle. You don't work it out constantly. You can work it out, but then you give it a break. And the other thing is, like a good athlete, you give it nutritional support. Get it right, And then a person can do like what I'm doing and train hard, work hard, and compete hard.
When you say nutritional support,
yes.
Do you mean like, can we get, I guess here's my question, because this is an issue that I have some disagreements with some people on, but I'm just wondering your professional opinion as an athlete, can we get the nutrients we need from just food, or do we need like supplements as well?
No. The answer is no, you cannot get what you need from food nowadays. Right. Maybe in the past. So if we look at the UK Department of Agriculture began measuring the nutrient content of staple foods at around the end of World War II. And it proved so popular, that was because of food rationing and so on in the UK during the war. It proved so popular that they've continued it to this day. So every 10 years or so, they have done an analysis of those staple foods, like the nutrient content of potatoes, including the sugar and fat, by the way, and various foods, meat, dairy, etc. Okay, and what is most apparent from that is that just about all of the staple foods now have less than half the nutrients that we found in the 1940s food. And in addition to that, the sugar content has risen markedly. So if you think of, like I can think back to the 1950s when I was just a little one, the apple back then would be regarded as a sour cooking apple of today. I actually find some of the apples of today too sweet. Okay, they've been bred for sweetness.
Yeah.
Even the lettuce is sweet, whereas you could think of the lettuce back then as being more like a semi-bitter herb. The food is different. The other thing that has happened is that we've depleted the soil. You see, human beings need something like, we need dozens, if not 60 or 80 different minerals. To grow a crop of corn, you only need nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus, and a bit of lime thrown on, and plenty of pesticide. Okay, that's not what makes up for a healthy human being. Okay, you'll grow a human being, but it will be weak, and it will be unhealthy and prone to disease. Yeah, so you need lots of pesticides for human beings. That's things like antibiotics. And vaccines you could add in as well. The answer is that our food is letting us down terribly. And that includes your organic foods. Again, it depends on what's put on the soil. If the soil doesn't have the nutrients that you and I need, then organic or not, it's not going to do the job. Oh, the other factor is that we are much less active. Okay, I just think of my mother. I can remember when my father bought home a Ringer washing machine. Oh my God, what a labor saver for my mother. Okay, up until then, it was hard physical labor just doing the washing. You know, we had to dig the garden. There were no supermarkets. They hadn't invented supermarkets. So we burned massive amounts of calories. As children, we were never allowed in the house between dawn and dusk. If we were in the house when my father got home from work, he would roar like a bull and we would be out of the doors, the windows, we would scurry outside, and we weren't allowed home until dinner was served. So we were very active, and by default, the more you eat, the more nutrients you get and the more variety. You can only eat so much bread or potato chips or pasta or whatever. So somebody who consumes or expends an enormous amount of energy through physical labor and exercise will, by default, eat a greater variety of foods and a greater quantity. So there are those things that come to the end. You're only as good as what you eat. I would also point out one other thing. We ate meat. We had milk pretty much straight from the cow, and nothing was wasted. Brain, tripe, liver, kidney, tongue, everything. We were fed everything. And when you think about it, the most nutritious part of an animal is the organs. And in fact, the original stress vitamin was desiccated liver capsules.
Right. I've heard about that. I've heard about supporting your organs through eating the associated organ meat.
Okay, if you want to build strong muscles, you eat steak, you know, protein. If you want strong bones, then you make a bone broth and drink it. Okay? It's homeopaths understand this like heals like. Okay? If you've got a weak liver, well, maybe eating extracts or eating liver is going to be helpful, and so on. In Polynesia, for a healthy brain and healthy eyes and so on, the pregnant women would eat fish heads and eyeballs. Okay? And that is one of the most nature's richest sources of the fat-soluble vitamins, in particular vitamin A. Yeah.
Lots of new menu ideas for people today. If you are just joining us, I'm talking today to Gary Mahler. We're talking about adrenal fatigue, causes, signs, symptoms, and remedies. You can send us a text, 2057, if you have questions or anything that's resonating with you about this conversation. Maybe you've experienced adrenal fatigue. You can send us an email, inbox at realitycheck.radio. Gary, in terms of adrenal fatigue, and given what a lot of people have been through, as you mentioned prior, so many different stresses in the past 4 years specifically, but just generally the way we live life, more sedentary, less nutritious food. What are some things that people can do to support their adrenals so they're kind of in a good state? One of the things you mentioned earlier was rest. You talked about stress, then rest for replenishment and recovery. What are some other things that we can do if we feel like our adrenals are overworked?
Well, first of all, I think we should talk a little bit about what are the signs and symptoms of adrenal fatigue.
I asked you about that before, but then we talked about nutrition. Yes, I know. Let's do that. Great idea. Let's go signs and symptoms of adrenal fatigue.
We've skirted around it a little bit, but first of all, the inability to handle stress. In other words, if you are confronted by any kind of stress, you will seek to avoid it rather than confront it. And if you have been under any kind of attack, then afterwards you'll feel like collapsing. The person, instead of saying, "Wow, that was amazing, I want to do it again," they will say, "I need to go and lie down. That's enough. I've had enough of this. I'm out of here." Okay. And think of other symptoms: low blood pressure or fluctuating blood pressure from high to low. The adrenals regulate vascular tone. So it keeps the heart beating strongly and evenly, and blood pressure at around about a 120 over 80 when one is in a healthy, relaxed state. So fluctuating blood pressure and a heart that misses beats and so on. And you can include atrial fibrillation as being one of the more extreme examples of that. I should say as well, if you think you've got adrenal fatigue, welcome to the rest of New Zealand, okay? Oh. Because in the testing I do, I don't think there's a single person nowadays who hasn't some degree of adrenal fatigue. Either the adrenals are going far too hard, or they've reached the point where they're out of here and the person is in a state of constant exhaustion. So fatigue, a lack of stamina, brain fog, feeling faint upon standing up, because the adrenals must instantly quicken the heart and tighten the arteries when you stand up. If your adrenals are tired, then when you stand up, you may feel a little bit lightheaded. Another symptom is an intolerance of bright light. So people with adrenal fatigue will turn up at my clinic and often with sunglasses on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because to maintain strong muscular contractions, you again need those hormones. And to keep the eye constricted in bright light takes is a muscular effort. And if the muscles are tired and weakened, then you can't keep that constriction, and then the light becomes too bright and might give migraines, headaches, such as when driving. The other is fibromyalgia, muscles that are tired, weak and sore to the touch, inflamed. Poor digestion, of course, because blood flow is directed to the muscles for action rather than for digestion. A loss of sex drive is another, for obvious reasons. When you're making war, you can't make love, or it's not a good idea. And if you're body is sensing attack from whatever reason, then the sex life may suffer as well. The other is puffiness, gaining weight, but mostly in the form of fluid, would be another symptom. So there's a very wide range. Oh, and of course, anxiety attacks, depression, phobias. It's just about the entire list of modern life-related conditions.
It's interesting.
Everything.
I know. I was thinking the same thing as you. A lot of our listeners will be sitting there thinking, "Oh, that does sound like me." Yes. At least they'll tick one or two of those boxes. One of them that stood out to me was the feeling faint upon standing up. And I guess because I remember there was a time a couple of years ago, so just in the early stages of COVID, and my daughter wasn't entirely happy at the school she was at. So there were a few factors, but she really went through a phase of being very faint upon standing, like really, and we just thought it was iron, but it's interesting to think like, oh, actually, you know, yes, it could have been iron, but also it could have been adrenal fatigue. So I think it's so great for our audience to hear just some of these symptoms. So we kind of cast a wider net and we really look more holistically at what is going on for ourselves and our family members.
Well, just on that, so stress depletes certain nutrients. And those nutrients include the B vitamins, but also there can be a depletion of minerals like magnesium, zinc, manganese, selenium. These are all important for blood formation, for the fixation of iron in such a way that it's available for oxygen transport and storage in the hemoglobin and myoglobin. So if somebody is under a lot of stress, these nutrients can be depleted. Think of like B12 as one of the B vitamins, but of course there are many. And if they are depleted, then yes, there may be signs and symptoms of anemia. And there are other factors, say for a teenage girl, and that is the surge of copper during puberty. Copper is the catalyst for the production of the female hormones. Copper, when it's excessive, it will basically shove iron out of the body and cause heavy painful periods, polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis, and PMS, and also a tendency for conditions like thrush, candida, eczema, and so on. So it's an interesting mix of things. And of course, if there is that surge of female hormones, and that has an imbalancing effect on testosterone, which gives strength and fortitude, whereas you can think of the female hormones as being nesting hormones, which are nurturing and also tell you to avoid confrontation. Mm-hmm. So if there is a surge of copper associated with puberty, that can bring on anxiety, and you combine that with what went on with COVID, those young teenagers going through puberty are going to have a hiding to nothing without support. And that, in a very circular way, can explain the feeling faint upon standing up, that, and also the fatigue and anxiety that probably is associated with that period of time. Yeah.
I've never heard of a surge of copper. Is that something that just happens from to only certain people, or is it more of an environmental thing?
I've been doing the hair tissue testing now for the best part of 20 years. And what I'm seeing is that copper's going up with each generation.
Right.
So I'm seeing more and more copper. Copper, think of the copper coil, the IUD, which
copper tea, stimulates. I think they called it. Yeah.
Hmm?
It was called a copper tea. I remember something like that.
Yeah, the copper coil. I guess there are various designs, but what it does when it's put into use, it tricks the body into thinking it's pregnant, and so the simulated pregnancy basically does what the modern contraceptive pill does. Estrogen is copper. Copper is estrogen. When estrogen soars, copper soars. When copper soars, estrogen soars.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where it comes from. And by the way, copper is crucial for the adrenal glands. But as with all nutrients, they work within a Goldilocks zone. Not too much, not too little, just right. And this is why mega dosing with a particular nutrient is not a good idea in most cases. And you can end up with the same symptoms as a deficiency. So a deficiency in copper is associated with anemia and adrenal burnout. If you're a sheep farmer and you've got anemic sheep, you never give your sheep an iron supplement. I've never heard of it, but a farmer that's in the know will spread bluestone or copper sulfate on the fields. It's copper. Copper, when it is deficient, will result in anemia in sheep. Same as humans, by the way. But here's the thing. Too much copper will also induce anemia. It's got to be just right, along with synergistic or supporting nutrients, including the B vitamins. Yeah. So
that's right. And that's why something like that hair test that you're talking about is great, because you get the numbers and then you can adjust and then you can do another check. And so I think that is, hopefully exactly. We've opened some people's eyes today to a few things in terms of symptoms. And are we ready to go on to some remedies?
Of course. Yes. We're talking about a subject, by the way, which I've spent something like 30 years getting my head around. And we're trying to cover this in just a matter of minutes. Okay, so my apologies to the audience in that we are covering a big territory.
We're opening their eyes, we're giving them a bit of insight. Cool. And then, of course, I'll ask you later on how people can reach out if they want to learn more. But what are some remedies that we can be aware of?
Well, I've been alluding to those already. I think the first thing, again, let's think about a horse trainer, race horses. They always have an off season. There is a time of the season after hard training and racing where their prize investment will be put out to grass in the back paddock with some good oats and maybe to frolic with the fillies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
I love your analogies.
I think of my childhood. Every summer, our parents would pack us up and we would go to a secluded holiday home on the beach. Dad would sleep all day in the sun and Mum would sit and read a book. And us little kids, like little cubs, we were out on the beach unsupervised and we would spend all day playing. But it was a time for rest and regeneration. Now, you look at all the great religions and think of New Zealand. There was once a time when New Zealand went to sleep on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was a time for basically putting your house in order, and Sunday was a time for worship and for family time. Now, that has all disappeared. So the first thing that I want listeners to ask themselves is, when do you get your rest and relaxation? When do you have an extended period, such as ideally on a desert island for 6 weeks every year with 5-star service, of course, but no devices? We need periods of rest and recuperation. And that should even include one of the best things, if somebody's got adrenal fatigue, is to have a siesta during the day. We were never designed to go from dawn till dusk without a break.
Mm.
If you look at before the production line, before Henry Ford and Co., we had periods of rest. It was called the siesta. So people would get up, they would do some work, the kids would go to school, and then they'd come home and they would sit with Mum and Dad and have their main meal during the middle of the day. Then they would have a sleep and then get up, the kids would go back to school, and Mum and Dad would do some more work in the cooler part of the day.
Yeah.
Now, we need to try and recreate that ourselves, because we can't deny our physiology. We were never designed to go to basically be like a racing car going constantly without being in the workshop and getting a good service and, in our case, rest and good nutrition. Now,
when I was at summer camp in Canada growing up, we used to go for 3 weeks or even sometimes 6 weeks every summer. Every day after lunch, everyone would go back to their cabin and we had rest hour. And it was an hour of rest.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, adrenal fatigue is fatigué, which is French for tired, just in case you're wondering on the origin of the word. All right, back to you, Gary, for a few more remedies.
So the next thing is nutrition. Now, if a polar explorer knocked on my door and collapsed, what would I feed that polar explorer? A lettuce leaf? Probably not, but I would be favoring steak. Eggs,
stew.
Liver, yes, that kind of thing to restore that polar explorer's strength and resilience before shoving him or her out the door to continue their journey. And in some ways, we're living the lives of polar explorers now. And we need to think about what we're eating. The sort of food we need to be eating needs to be food that is nutrient dense and which contains all of the nutrients that, I shouldn't just talk about adrenal glands. It's because we're an entire functioning unit. What's good for the adrenal glands is good for the brain, is good for the liver, good for the muscles, good for the bones and the joints and so on. We can't separate it. But we need to be eating nutrient-dense food. Now, a really good source resource for listeners is the Weston Price Foundation. If they just Google Weston Price Foundation,
can you spell that? Is it Weston or Western?
Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N hyphen Price. And Weston Price was a dentist who went around the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, the islands, and he looked at the health of the dental health and the facial structures of natives, where the road had come in with the cabin bread and the flour and the sugar, and the areas where the road hadn't gone in, and he contrasted them. And that's where he came up with his theories about the role of nutrition and diet and the development of facial structures, dental health and so on. Very good. I've followed him for many years. He's one of my heroes. And it just so happens, by the way, that Sally Fallon, who was the executive director of the Weston Price Foundation in Chicago, is married to a Southland dairy farmer. New Zealand has a proud connection with the foundation. Now, the really good thing about the Weston Price Foundation is they promote nourishing traditions. In other words, you look at your ancestry. Oh, this is what I tell people to do. Mm. Look at your ancestry, whether you're from the islands or, Northern Europe or England or wherever. You look at your origins and you look at the food that was eaten for 1,000 years. In times of plenty, I should add, not during the Irish famine, potato famine. And try to replicate that as best you can in these modern times. And if you do that, you'll generally improve your health, including your ability to handle stress. Then on top of that, so the Weston Price Foundation would be, I'd say, a fabulous resource. And then the next thing is some supplementation, because once those nutrient reservoirs are down to the sludge, which is the case for many of us, and also where there may be imbalances, merely getting the RDA or recommended daily allowance is not going to change things very much at all. All it will do is so the RDA is basically the amount of nutrients in theory to keep you healthy from one day to the next. If you are in a depleted and imbalanced state, then you've got to be assured that you're getting more than the RDA. And here's the thing. This is the forever problem, okay? So if somebody is exhausted and depleted and you start nourishing them, supporting them, their energy levels increase, which means they sign up for the next marathon.
They're going to do more, yeah.
Yeah, they take on another project. They do more with the result that, they're not like that racehorse where they're just out there in the back paddock, okay?
Yeah.
You know, the moment they feel any better, they're at it. They're going for it again. And so it tends to mean that the more the better somebody feels, the more they burn their nutrients. So if you were to look at my hair tissue analyses, sure, I think I can claim to be cardiovascularly the fittest 70-year-old in the world. I think I can make that claim. But the thing is, if you look at my hair tissue test, you look at it and you go, oh my God, that's terrible, Gary. Okay, and the reason why is because the more I get things right, the more I undo it.
Yeah.
It's never ending. It's never ending. It's just, that's what human beings are like. By the way, human beings are awful lab rats. So we never get it right, Natalie.
Well, it's good to be aware. We're almost running out of time, but I do have a question I want to ask you, which is especially in light of everything we've been through in the past many years. But is there a connection between adrenal fatigue and shell shock or PTSD? Yeah. What are the links there?
I think they are all the same. PTSD, shell shock, battle fatigue, and all of these signs and symptoms are effectively the same. The only thing that differs is the degree. I even think that Parkinson's is an extension of PTSD or shell shock. When you look at the signs and symptoms of Parkinson's,
post-traumatic stress disorder for those that weren't sure.
Correct. Yes. I think that Parkinson's is the final stages of excessive stress. Mm. And that stress may not always be obvious, okay? It might be, for example, somebody who spent all their time as a prison guard. Every day they're on guard, but right. Hey, they're used to it. But they are always mindful that there could be some crazy coming up behind them. And they may be completely used to it, or it might be they're in an abusive relationship. The other is particularly the men who have worked with their hands. I'm thinking of farmers, tradies, mechanics, truck drivers who are exposed to toxins like cadmium, arsenic, lead. And those in themselves are stressors, which are constantly 24/7 within the body. And ultimately, the body, the brain, the nervous system reaches a point where it can't handle it anymore. And the adrenals also burn out. Mm. And Bob's your uncle. You have this symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder in whatever form you want to. It's there. And
thank you for highlighting that, because sometimes it is an actual traumatic event, and other times it can be, like you said, years and years and years of the same thing.
It can be just one thing, like a car accident, where one smash, and they'll say, Gary, that accident, it happened years ago, but it knocked the stuffing out of me. Or it can be death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
And anywhere in between, anything in between.
Okay, Gary, where can people connect with you if they want to? Because I think some people might be curious about their hair follicle analysis, but where can they connect with you, or where can they go to read something and learn more online?
Okay, one of the best resources, not mine, is adrenalfatigue.co.nz. And that is a wonderful resource of information about adrenal fatigue. The other thing that readers can do is they can Google Gary Moller, adrenal fatigue, but also Gary Moller, chronic fatigue syndrome, or just CFS, and Google will do the rest. They can contact me through GaryMoller.com, and there are thousands of articles that I've written. There's a huge number of articles on just about any health issue you want to think of, or you can even get Google to do that for you. Just type your topic with Gary Moller at the beginning. The other is precision health testing if you want to learn more about hair tissue mineral analysis.
Amazing. I'm going to spell Gary's surname for you. It's M-O-L-L-E-R. Thank you, Gary. That is so amazing. Before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to add? Or if you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
Well, what wouldn't I do? It might be more to the question. I want to encourage New Zealanders to take back control of this country. And I have some strategies as to how we can do that. And that is one of the, that for me is my big project. Of course, I'm not alone. There are many others who are doing the same. One of the schemes, I don't know whether it's a scheme, but one of the projects was to help New Zealanders understand that the voting is the least important part of the political process. The most powerful part of the political process actually happens within the parties themselves. The parties are where policy is developed. It's where the selection of candidates is made. And when you come to vote, it's like going to a restaurant. You can only purchase what is on the menu. If you go to a Chinese restaurant, don't expect to be able to get Italian or French. And if we want to determine what is on those menus and also who's serving us in the way of MPs, then we need to get involved at the party level. And if you don't like that party, that's even better reason for joining it. Join it, get involved, serve cups of tea, become the secretary of the local branch, and so on and so on. Even put yourself forward as a candidate. And that way you change the culture from within. Our enemies did that, so we can do it back. And that, to me, is that what I want to see happen. And we've got 3 years, or less than 3 years now, to get this done so that come the next election, we are the ones who decide who is the Minister of Health, Justice, and so on and so on. Okay. Right now, we've only got a fraction of a percent. We've only got about 6-7% of the vote. We need to have more.
All right. There you go. An inspirational insight, changing the culture from within. What a fabulous note to end on. Changing the culture from within while also taking rest and time for oneself and being healthy so that we can change the culture from within.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Gary, for joining us today. It's been amazing to have you on the Up Your Brave show. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.